Good evening. If you're ready for another few moments of looking at the Word of God, the lesson tonight is inspired by Jacob's talk on Wednesday, and I don't even see him here. What's the deal? I can't even give a shout out to him. Well, I hope he's not sick, but I'm glad to see all of you here, and glad to have this opportunity. We talk a lot about Jesus, and rightfully so. We talk a lot about Paul, and rightfully so, and Peter, and Isaiah, and Elijah. But you know, there's a lot of people in the Bible that we can learn a lot from, as Jacob pointed out on Wednesday night. And so I thought I'd just pick out a few of the Christians from the New Testament that we can learn some lessons from. Sometimes we look at the apostles and the preachers of the New Testament, and maybe the prophets that we read about, and those that we know have written Scripture, like Luke and Mark, and you know, we look up to those people. They're great people, and that's true. But there are a lot of things we can learn from the rest of it. And so you shouldn't be. Sometimes we talk about the preachers and the elders and all the regular Christians. Well, there's not really that kind of a distinction, but we kind of make that in our minds sometimes. But we're all servants of God, and we all have our roles to fulfill. And we all need to understand that wherever, however we're serving God in His kingdom, we're important, and we can make a difference. And so that's what we're thinking about tonight. First, I want to talk about Cornelius. And I have the scriptures up here, but if you want to follow along, we'll be looking in Acts chapter 10. But one thing that we learn about Cornelius, even from before he becomes a Christian, is that he is interested in pleasing God. However he came to understand about God, we don't really know. But as we open up the scriptures, we find out that he was interested in pleasing God, and whatever he could find out meant to please God, that's exactly what he was going to do. In Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, the Bible reads, "At Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, 'Cornelius,' and he stared at him in terror and said, 'What is it, Lord?' And he said to him, 'Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea.' When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. And having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. He gave to the poor. He prayed. The scriptures say he's one who feared the Lord." He's not a preacher. He's not somebody that we normally think as super important. But in the scheme of things, when we step back, he really is super important. He was the first Gentile convert. And what did it begin with? Why did God send Peter to him? Because he feared him. Because he prayed to him. Because God saw he was interested in doing what's right. And you may be playing a larger part in the scheme of God's plan than you realize by simply trusting in Him and serving Him and trying to develop your relationship with Him every day, as we see Cornelius did. Let's see some more about Cornelius in Acts 10 and verse 24. "And on the following day, they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them, Peter and his people, and had called together his relatives and close friends." And then in verse 33, "So I sent for you at once," Cornelius says to Peter, "and you have been kind enough to come. Now therefore we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." There's another wonderful example that we can learn from Cornelius. He was ready to listen. He was trying to please God from what he knew already. But at the moment that this angel came to him and told him, "There's something else you need to hear," he was ready. He wanted to hear whatever God had to say to him. And from the type of person we see in Cornelius, I imagine he was ready to hear whatever God had to say to him, even if it meant some difficult changes in his life. And no doubt, being of the status he was, and the he was obviously kind of wealthy. It's known about these centurions, and especially those that were members of the Italian cohort. They were wealthy. They were people of high status. Probably people that thought it was foolish to believe in a God who died, in a God who raised from the dead, and all the things that go along with the gospel. But he was ready to listen to whatever God wanted him to hear. But not only was he ready to listen, he knew that whatever God had to say to him was important for all the people that he loved and all the people that he knew. So he gathered his friends and his relatives. These are simple things that all of us can do. We can do the good works that God has called us to, like giving to the poor that Cornelius did. We can pray to God and talk to Him as often as we can. We can be ready to listen whenever God has something to say to us. We can bring others and teach others ourselves. All parts that every single one of us can play, and you just don't realize how big of an impact you can make in the scheme of things. But let's look at one more example from Cornelius, beginning in verse 47 of Acts chapter 10. Peter says, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. Now it doesn't say, he and his household were baptized. But I think we can understand from that and the following context, that's exactly what happened. He had gathered these people here. They listened to the gospel. And Peter said, if you want a part of this, you've got to be baptized into Jesus. He commanded them to be baptized. And so they were. Then they asked Peter to remain with them for some days. And so Cornelius was always desiring to please God. He was ready to obey when God commanded him something. Secondly, I want to look at a lady named Tabitha, who's also known as Dorcas. She was known for her service among God's people. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 36 is where we find the account of Tabitha. "Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days she became ill and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, 'Please come to us without delay.' So Peter rose and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, 'Tabitha, arise.' And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive, and it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord." She was known. These people were gathering there. They were weeping over her. She was important to them. Probably for many reasons than just what we're told here, but one thing, she was a servant. And she made these garments and these blankets or tunics and things for them. She cared for other people. She was known for her service. And that's what we're all to be, is servants to God and servants to one another. Stephanus is a man that's not mentioned very much in the Bible, but he's got a lot to teach us in the things that it does tell us about him. Read with me in 1 Corinthians 16. Beginning in verse 15. "Now I urge you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Be subject to such as these, and to every fellow worker and laborer. I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because they have made up for your absence, for they refreshed my spirit as well as yours. Give recognition to such people." Stephanas was also a servant of God and a servant of other people. But one thing else that it tells us is that he led his family to become servants too. If there's one thing, one important thing that I could teach my children, it's to be servants, to follow in the steps of their Savior, and put others' interests before their own. Be concerned about others, not just be spending time thinking about what I can get for me, what I can do for me, what other people can do for me, but how can I serve other people? Because so often, when we have that attitude, we get so many blessings out of serving others. And Stephanus, being a servant, obviously knew this, and he wanted that blessing for his children as well. And so he led his household to devote themselves to the service of the saints. I want us to think about Aquila and Priscilla a little bit. Maybe they're a little bit more familiar than some of the others that we've been talking about already. But they're just a couple. They weren't apostles. They weren't preachers in the sense that we often use it. They were just a couple. But they were devoted to the work of spreading the gospel and teaching others. Let's look beginning in Acts 18. Acts 18 in verse 1. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome, and he went to see them. And because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. How were they gospel workers in this passage? Well, they're furthering the gospel by their hospitality to Paul, allowing him to stay there. And they were the same trade. They may have even shared the same working space together when they were making tents. But they were hospitable people, and it allowed Paul to go around Corinth and preach the gospel there with them. But again, in 1 Corinthians 16, in verse 19, we read again about this couple. The churches of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Prisca, together with the church in their house, send you hearty greetings in the Lord. The church in their house. I take that to mean that they were allowing the church in that city to meet in their home. Again, they were furthering the work of the gospel simply by being hospitable people. Could you do that? Could we do that? Of course, we could all, if we would just be hospitable. No telling what we can do in service to God. But also, they furthered the gospel in another way, in Acts 18 and verse 24. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the Scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. They took the time. You know, we might hear somebody say something, and we know that they're saying something that's incorrect, but, you know, I really got to be somewhere in a few minutes, or I'm tired, I really don't have time, but they didn't say that. They heard him. And they knew, here's an opportunity. He's already preaching the gospel. We just need to help him correct a few things and put him on the right path. How many people could we be setting on the right path if we would just, the little bit that we hear about them, just help them to see the Scriptures a little more accurately? And maybe they'll be a little more careful in their study and be able to correct other things that they come to find out they've believed it wrong. And maybe, just maybe, that might even convert many, many people as they change and they help others to change. But they were gentle in the way that they do it. It said that after he got done speaking, they took him aside and took the time and talked to him about this, explained to him the way more accurately. And so they furthered the gospel by helping Apollos to see the truth more clearly. And we read about Apollos' work in books like 1 and 2 Corinthians and other places as he went on to preach in other cities. So who knows how many people have been saved because they took this few moments to explain to Apollos the way more accurately. Paul writes in Romans 16 and verse 13, "Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus." Wouldn't that be wonderful if Paul could say that of us? That we were his fellow workers just because we were hospitable. Just because we took a few moments to help someone see the Scriptures more accurately. Don't ever think that simple things are not important and that you can never be of service to God. Every decision you make of faith, of doing what's right, of taking the time to do what you know God wants you to do is furthering the work of the gospel. I want us, lastly, to look at the Christians mentioned in Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 9. The difference between these people that we're talking about in this passage is that these people are dead. And I want you to see what the Scriptures say about them. Revelation 6 and verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. They cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves had been. There's a really important lesson that we can learn from this group. And that's, we need to be faithful to the end. We see one thing that we can be encouraged ourselves. That when we're faced with tough times, when we're faced with tough decisions, who knows what the future in this country brings. I know that the Lord told us to pray for peace in 1 Timothy 2 so that we can continue doing our work in the gospel. But who knows what His plans are for our nation. Who knows if we're going to face the same type of persecution these Christians faced under the Roman Empire. But they were faithful to the end. They gave up their lives. And listen to the description again at the beginning. I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. They left something behind. They were dead, but their witness went on. Remember the Hebrew writer says, they being dead yet speak? We can speak even when we're dead, when we live a faithful life. And even if we're not dead because we were persecuted and became martyrs for Christ, even if we die in a ripe old age, if we're faithful to the end, that leaves a message behind. We believed with all our heart, and we were not going to give up for anything. And so, there's some people that we can get encouragement from, and we can learn from. There's no such thing as a minor Christian. But every decision of faith glorifies God and says to the Lord, I love you and I'm with you every step of the way. And so every decision you make, everything you're faced with, don't think that it's not important. One perspective we can look at that is one little sin matters. It draws us away from God. It separates us from God. And it causes us to be weaker in our faith. But on the other hand, one small decision to step forward, to step closer, to spend more time with God, to do more for the work of the Lord, to do those things that often we say we don't have time to do. It glorifies God and it furthers His work. And you just never know what the ramifications of those things are going to be in the end. Every decision of faith glorifies God. And we can learn that from the Christians in the New Testament. If you're not a Christian this evening, I hope that you'll think about it and that you'll know that Jesus gave His life for you. The Son of God left heaven so that He could come, take on a fleshly body and be crucified, that we could be saved from our sins. What love that God has shown us in His Son, and what gratitude we should offer Him with our lives. If you're not a Christian, I hope you'll make the decision to become one. And if you're in need of prayers, I hope that you'll come forward right now and we'll pray together.